Welcome back to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Team Power, our local John Deere, Kubota, tractor dealership in Shasta Lake City. These guys do a great job doing all their all your repairs, sales, parts. They do it all up there. And they're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just south of Phil's Propeller. And you can reach them on the phone at 226-9226 or online at readingtractors.com. Give them a call. Get your stuff tuned up. Spring's right around the corner. I know as soon as it stops raining, that grass,
as soon as the sun comes out,
it's going to grow a foot a day. Don't get lost out there in the jungle without a mower that runs good. So give them a call, and they'll take care of you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, fitting to we have a lot of shows on environmentalism coming up here for the rest of April. Today is actually April 7th, 2019, in case we replay this show, which we probably will, because it's great information for you. But when that happens, sometimes things have changed, or there's been new information, or I don't know. I don't like to confuse people, get them all upset. But this is not only 420, the birthday of Hitler, but it is also apparently like pot day or I'll have to get our guest to clarify that. I really didn't do much research on that, but 420 seems to have some magical properties. I'm guessing it doesn't have anything to do with Hitler, but who knows? Maybe it does.
I think 420 started, isn't that when it's okay to smoke at 420 in the afternoon?
Oh, and in the afternoon, it's a time of day, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Day and a day.
Except I think most places stay open till 5.
And so then so they're all at work.
Kind of a problem.
Idiotic Earth Day is also this month, and so we've done our best to give you great insight on the climate hoax. We've got some amazing experts for you teed up for the rest of the month. You can find all of that at wethepeopleradio.us. If you like the things we're doing and you'd like to help out, please pitch in. We're always looking for sponsors, big ones, little ones. You know, we don't have to do your commercial for you. You could do your own, or you could just be a silent sponsor.
Yeah.
You could hide in the bushes.
Yeah.
If you don't want to actually be officially affiliated with us, but you would like to hear what comes up. And if you've got ideas for shows, please go to wethepeopleradio.us, send us an email, or give us a phone call. Both of our information is on there, and we would love to hear from you. Okay. Our guests are continuing on from the hour previous, and we hope that you will listen to that if you haven't already. You can always go to the website and listen commercial-free this afternoon. Once Robert takes all the commercials out. Thanks for that, Robert. And we're talking about marijuana. Excuse me. I was going to talk about marijuana, except I was busy choking.
Kind of give you a little bit on 420 and some of our recommendations on that. Is that okay?
That would be terrific. And that is Dr. Philip Drum, who is a pharmacist for the past 31 years. Super smart guy about all things about drugs. And then his friend, I don't know how you know each other than you both had a loved one killed within a week of each other because of a drugged driver. And Corrine Gaspar is with us as well. So that'll be the other voice you hear. All right, what's the deal with 420 anyway?
Well, by the way, that is how we know each other. We've both been active. We're activists in getting the word out about drunk driving. So that's how we've connected. He lives in California. I live in Ohio. So, I'd like to tell you a little bit about 420. It does raise the risk of impaired driving by a huge amount. I think Phil might know that number. There's a campaign put out by our Highway Safety Department called Drive High and Get a DUI. And what we recommend is if you are going to party on that day, if you do partake, to use an Uber or a Lyft or a taxi or have somebody drive that is not impaired. And be aware that you are considered, there could be marijuana in your blood and you could be impaired up to 24 hours of use.
And the brutal part of it is a Saturday this year, so I'm sure that will raise the...
We're urging all police departments to increase, roadside checkpoints and also to have extra cruisers out on the road to detect who is driving high on those days. We urge all police departments across the country to do that.
And do we have any idea, someone in the chat room wanted to know, whether Uber and Lyft are doing anything to minimize usage by their drivers?
Well, that's a good question.
Do you guys know anything
about
that?
About it.
Well, that Uber driver in South Carolina wasn't, and I don't know that. I don't know if those people are mandated. I know, whereas taxi cab drivers could undergo like regular people to have to be tested. I'm not sure. I had heard some rumors about that, but I don't know. Just remember, Uber and Lyft, you're getting into somebody else's car.
Right.
You don't, and they're not required like taxi cab drivers to. You know, show their competencies and things. So just be fully aware of that. I've never taken an Uber or Lyft for that reason, knowing that fully well. Although, you know, in a city like San Francisco, their Department of Transportation has allowed marijuana cardholders to use to drive you in a taxi cab in San Francisco. And we do know from our FARS database, again, one Californian is dying on our roadways a day, easily. One Californian is dying on our roadways every day, 365 in a year, easily, from a marijuana-impaired driver. So I want people just to have that sink in. You know, how much is a life worth to you? Is it worth having 365 deaths easily? There's probably many more than that because we're not testing these drivers. And again, that percentage increase on 420 is 12%. There was a study that was done recently that looked at 25 years of the Fatality Analysis Reporting System database, 25 years, and they compared 420 versus 413 and 427, and they found a 12% increase in fatalities on 420. That's equivalent to increased number of fatalities that are seen on a Super Bowl Sunday. So we know what happens on Super Bowl Sundays. People are drinking alcohol a lot, just like New Year's Day, just like Labor Day weekend. And so, again, we're asking if any law enforcement's out there, please, please, please put more officers on the roadway, put more sobriety checkpoints out. We need to make our roadways safe. And, oh, by the way, 421 is Easter Sunday. People will be impaired for easily more than 24 hours. Again, the Canadian military saying 24 hours. And so if they are starting to smoke at their 4:20 p.m. time, which is where this came from, that the students in Marin County would tell everybody at 4:20, let's go out and smoke dope. That's where this came from. And now it's become an international phenomenon. And they equate it now to April 20th because that is 4:20. They were looking at from 4:20 p.m. to midnight, and they found this 12% increase in fatalities. And it was very smart of them to compare it to the 13th versus the 27th because the lighting during that time of year is the same. So you don't want to compare 4:20 versus, say, 9:20 or 10:20, you know, October or September. You want to do it at the same time of year, and that's what they did. And they compared the same time frame, 4:20 p.m. to midnight, and they found this 12% increase in fatalities.
That's a lot.
Add one beer to that marijuana, your risk of being involved in a fatal crash goes up to 6 to 8-fold. That's what the scientific evidence shows.
Wow.
6-8-fold increase in being involved in a fatal crash.
But do they do the blood testing to figure out how many of those are marijuana versus alcohol? Or is it just impaired?
The issue is we know what's happening on 420. It's marijuana use goes up on 420.
Sure.
We do have reports of marijuana in the FARS database if the sites are doing it. Remember, in the state of California, they're only doing it 24% of the time in the dead driver. 14% of the driver lives and kills somebody else. So our data is very, very poor, and yet it's already showing a 12% increase in fatalities on that day. Mm-hmm. And again, one beer added to that joint changes the rate from double with marijuana alone to now. And that doubling was with old studies, okay? That was with the 3% THC. That's not what the 70 to 90% THC that we're seeing now in these vaping cartridges that children are using. And I just wanted to add to the issue about the smoking. Again, cigarette smoking is going down. Cannabis smoking is going up, okay, in teens. Okay, that's just the facts. And in places that have legalized edible use and dabbing, dabbing is that 70 to 90%, is going up, and edible use is going up. And so if parents are seeing, and this past week, again, I'm a pharmacist, so I've signed up to the Food and Drug Administration, and I received their warnings. And so I received a warning this past week about the warning of children vaping using nicotine in these vaping cartridges and suffering seizures.
I heard that.
I happened to see a video within 2 years ago, and you can look this up. It's on YouTube. It's, you know, you can put in Portland high school students and you can and marijuana use, and you'll find it. They talk about mooking. They call it mooking, and that's the combination of tobacco and marijuana that they smoke, and it causes seizures. And these kids will tell you how dangerous that is to combine the nicotine with the marijuana, that really induces seizures a lot.
God.
And I suspect the seizures that they're seeing is probably due to the combination that the FDA is warning about, because the FDA, you know, is kind of looking a blind eye at marijuana, but they're pointing fingers at nicotine causing seizures with this vaping in children.
Huh. And hold on one second, Corrine. We've got to take a really quick break. When we come back, it's all you. We'll steal the fire hose from Dr. Drum and we'll give it to you. You're listening to We the People. Please join us online. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you
change, change, change.
Tell you.
Hi. Well, I think the most important thing I want to say is the marijuana industry puts out a message that no one ever dies from marijuana. And I think the shocking thing is there's a lot more people out there like me and like Phil that have been devastated by people driving high on medical marijuana or regular marijuana. And, you know, I think a lot of the other argument is this is going to take away the black market if we legalize it. But that's not shown to be true.
Yeah, they say that all the time.
Yes, it's actually expanded the black market in many areas. Another thing I get really concerned about is what are we telling our children? If we're legalizing it, are we telling them marijuana is okay? I think that's a big question we have to ask ourselves and ask our legislatures.
I think that's exactly what they're saying by legalizing this. I mean, it just sends the message that it's now we realize it's okay to smoke pot, that it's not harmful.
Right. And we know that that's absolutely not true. And in children with developing brains, their brains are developing, they say now, up to the age of 30. And it can actually lower the IQ of a child. It can stunt their ability in many ways. And, you know, I just don't think this information is getting out there to the kids and to the parents. And I think a lot of people live in kind of a bubble. You know, they think it's not going to affect my family. Well, I happen to know many people that have thought that, and their children have become addicted to marijuana very, very quickly and without their knowledge until it was a real crisis in their family.
That's another big-time myth, that you can't be addicted to. It's not an addictive drug. And for people who want a very detailed explanation on that, I would encourage you, go to the website, click on the pot tab at the top, and look at the show we did with Dr. Libby Stout. She went into that in great, great detail. You guys, what have you seen or heard, or, you know, things that you can cite for folks on the addictive nature of this?
Well, not only did, but as Corrine said, it's a hallucinogen. Okay, it's in the class of hallucinogen. Okay, so auditory visual hallucinations. And so we're putting a hallucinogen now out on the roadways. It is a controlled substance drug. Marijuana is still a CS1 drug by the Food and Drug Administration, okay, by our federal government. There's classifications of CS1 through 5, and it has to do with addictive potential as well as withdrawal. Okay, and so you do go through withdrawals for marijuana. It takes a long time because it's fat soluble for it finally to leave the body. So it takes 2-3 weeks before you start going through withdrawals from not using marijuana. So it's still in the brain that entire time. It's slowly leaching out if they stop. And they actually, the DSM-5 came out in, it was over a decade ago now, in which they do now have a definition. DSM-5 is the diagnostic medical standards that they use for, and they diagnosed that there's a thing called cannabis use disorder, and I think Dr. Libby Stout talked about that. And so it is an addictive substance, and there's an abuse disorder that goes along with it. Again, these are the controlled substances are addictive substances, and so as a CS1 drug, it's addictive. And that's why you see them having to use more and more and more, and the dosage goes up. And then typically what ends up happening is they end up going to other drugs. They end up going to heroin, methamphetamine, benzodiazepines. They start using then other drug classes to get their high because they're no longer getting it from the marijuana. And, you know, this marijuana from the stores are expensive. It's much more expensive than the illegal market, the black market. Again, the black market expands when you start having, because the law enforcement doesn't know who's legal and who's illegal.
Sure.
And here's the other fantasy, right? One of the big selling points was that you're going to get tax dollars, right? They want to talk about the tax revenue. Okay? All right, well, let's talk about the tax revenue. Okay, what did they promise? What did Kamala Harris promise as the Attorney General when she drafted up Prop 64 for us to vote on? What did they promise? They promised $1 billion in tax revenue. In fact, Edmund G. Brown Jr. told us that, put that in his budget. We will get $1 billion. $1 billion. What did they take in the state of California in 2018? $470 million.
That's a long way from a billion.
That's 47%. Okay? So you're 53% away from what you estimated. What business can you run coming in at 47% of your estimate? How long are you going to stay in business?
Well, and that doesn't, if it was a business, you'd have income and expense. So on the expense side of the line, you have all of the law enforcement, district attorneys, medical. You look at all these people who potentially are not insured.
Free emergency room visits.
Going to the ER.
I mean, exactly.
And so for those of us who are not medical professionals and not pot smokers and all that sort of stuff, the addicting thing totally made sense to me. When someone explained, I think it was Dr. Libby, she had said, well, if it's not addicting, why do you go through withdrawals? And it's like, oh, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Right.
Can't go through withdrawals on something that's not addicting.
What's going to be happening in the state of California, there's a bill, AB 286, that's requesting to drop the marijuana tax by 27%. When was the last time the alcohol or tobacco tax went down?
Yeah, and why would we incentivize that?
Yeah, why would they lower it 27%? It's
because the black market's going to get up and leave.
Exactly.
It's going to walk away.
Right.
Because the black market's just going to disappear like they already promised you that it would. Mm-hmm. So they're going to drop it by 27% from 15% to 11%. That allows you to buy more pot.
Oh, absolutely.
That allows you to do. That's what our legislature is promoting. A 27% reduction in that $470 million.
Well, and then also, I watched a program here a month or so back about pot production in California. And the bottom line was, with all the regulations, fees, inspections, all the things they're tagging on legal pot growers in California, they can't grow it and make a profit. And a lot of them are saying, we're just going to go back to growing it illegally.
Yes.
Because we can make a lot more money, and we have made a lot more money and not got caught in the past. So why would we subject ourselves to all this legal stuff? And the black market has actually gotten bigger since legalization.
That's right. And again, let's just look at the tax dollars taken in the state of California. Okay? So there's three different fields. And why I guess, and I asked this when I gave my talk, and of course nobody answered it. And Lori Ajax had already run out of the room. She was speaking before me. She's the cannabis pot czar of California. That I asked the question, how come the cultivation tax was going up, but the sales tax was going down? So to me, that means they're making more, but they're selling less. How does that happen? Again, the commerce law of the U.S. Constitution prohibits you from selling something in one state and bringing it into another that will cause damage. The Commerce Clause of the United States Constitution, which is not being followed by our federal government, would prohibit marijuana leaving the state of California. So all that cultivation should be sold here. So the suspicion is it's not being sold here. Or if it is being sold here, it's not being taxed.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, one of the big issues they had on this program I watched was a lot of buyers were coming in from out of state, buying it in California and shipping it off parts unknown.
And that's illegal per the U.S. Constitution.
Sure, but they really don't care. I mean, the laws, you know, it's the laws are for people that want to obey the law.
And do we think that people that were illegal drug dealers are all of a sudden going to start following the law?
Exactly.
Sure. Just like gun laws. Make more gun laws, more criminals will follow them. I mean, it doesn't work anywhere else, so obviously let's just do that. Let's take our half-hour break here. It's not a half-hour long. It just happens at the half-hour. I guess I should rephrase that. Let's take our half-hour break right now. We're just going to sit around for 30 minutes. It's only 2. Let's not panic. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Philip Drum.
What are you, Chuck Woolery? 2 and 2.
2 and 2. No, you're Chuck Woolery.
Oh.
We'll be right back and figure out who Chuck Woolery is.
Yeah, right.
This old man and me were at the bar and we were having us some beers and swapping night on cares, talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace, all the hell we raised. And then I heard the old man say, God is great, and beer is good, and people are crazy.
Yeah, beer seems kind of like not a problem anymore.
Yeah, easy on the beer, big on the crazy nowadays.
Yeah.
All right, so got, you know, roughly 20 minutes, 25 minutes left. What do you want? What are some other things that you'd like people to know that you know that they're not being told?
Well, I just wanted to add one more thing about 420.
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
And anybody out there that's concerned, like Corrine and I are. Again, we've lost our family members already. I just have a brother and a mother left. That's it. And so you really need to be thinking about, you know, your family, your lives, and the risks involved now in 420. And so one of the things that we're also recommending is that, Corrine mentioned the Amber Alerts. Again, drive high, get a DUI, is something that I know I've seen Amber Alert signs, and I would strongly encourage that people contact their local law enforcement and tell them you want to see that on those Amber Alert signs on April 18th, 19th, and 20th. And we want to educate the public that driving high is not acceptable and you will get a DUI. And so we need to encourage people to let their law enforcement know that they expect to see that on April 18th, 19th, and 20th. I think that's a great way to help educate the public that this hazard is coming their way on Saturday, April 20th.
No, I think that's a great idea. You know, the drunk driving policies and programs they've had out there for several years now, I think have been very effective. I think people do think twice about getting behind the wheel and drinking. The people I talk to say, I'm not even going to take a chance with that. I'll call a cab or I won't go out. But that's not the mentality with marijuana. Marijuana, I mean, people don't think twice about it. And I think,
And it's because they were told that you drive better, you have better concentration.
Right.
And if I could just, I want to throw this in. Just a couple weeks ago, there was a survey that came out in Michigan where 800 medical marijuana users were asked, do you ever drive high? The shocking results were 56% reporting driving within 2 hours of using marijuana, 51% said they drove a little high, and 21% said they drive while very high. And these were just the ones that admitted to it.
Right.
And there's about 270,000 Michigans that have permission to use marijuana. But in California, that's eight times the amount at 916,000. So imagine how many impaired drivers there are out there.
Right.
And just think about your family being on the road.
Sure.
You know, especially, I mean, inexperienced drivers. I mean, even the most experienced driver with what happened to my daughter and Phil could not avoid what happened to them. But we make a distinction when we talk about this. We don't talk about this as being an accident because it wasn't an accident.
No.
These people made all kinds of decisions to smoke pot, to get in the car, to drive. And so we want people to know that these are car crashes. They're not accidents.
Well, this is no different than, you know, you go running through a crowded room waving a steak knife. You're going to stab somebody.
Exactly. Exactly our point.
Yeah.
And the other concern, I think I spoke to this before, was the time of day when this happens. Again, these people are using because they have to, because they're addicted, because they don't want to go through withdrawals and they're addicted, that they're using before work, they're using after work. And so those are high traffic times before work and after work. So my sister was killed at 6:20 in the morning, okay, that we saw a spike in the FARS database that shows 7 to 8 in the morning. And then 4 to 8 at night are when the marijuana crashes occur. Those are peak driving times on the roadway,
right?
4 to 8 p.m. And then when you combined alcohol with marijuana, now it was 6 to 10 p.m. because they spent those 2 hours in the bar.
Right.
And again, remember what I warned you about, alcohol and marijuana, 6 to 8-fold increased risk of being involved in a fatal crash. One other area that I'd like to jump into and tell the truth about is CBD. I think there's a lot of information about CBD, and it's all misinformation. And again, the pot industry is doing a fantastic job at their propaganda. Okay, so CBD was approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Okay? Why they're not doing their job and prohibiting the sales of CBD is beyond me as a pharmacist. Okay, I don't think they're doing their job. I don't think the Drug Enforcement Agency is doing their job either, especially when I hear and see about that it's being sold in CVS and Walgreens over the counter.
It is?
This is a CS5 drug. controlled substance 5. Okay? Part of the reason why is there's no such thing as CBD that's free of THC, which is the psychoactive component. So when they're selling you CBD, there's THC in it. And I've seen multiple cases across the United States of, hey, I was just using my CBD rub or I was using my CBD oil and I popped a positive for THC. Well, yeah, because there's THC in that CBD, THC being the psychoactive component. Didn't they tell you? Buyer beware.
Now, is CBD, the CBD that they sell in these co-ops, are there any controls on that? I mean, as far as potency or supposedly not having any THC, I mean, are there, is there anything in place to guarantee what you're buying is what you're getting?
Well, the state is supposed to be checking that because the Food and Drug Administration is clearly not. The Food and Drug Administration is only over Epidiolex, which is the FDA approved. And in fact, I'd encourage the drug company that makes Epidiolex to sue all the states that are allowing CBD to be sold over the counter because they went through the rigors of the Food and Drug Administration to get their drug approved. What are these other people doing? Selling CBD, which is a CS5 drug, over the counter. Just like what's the state of California doing, allowing CS1 drug, marijuana, to be sold.
Right.
Or THC, which is a CS3 drug, to be sold. I mean, this is just absolute insanity, people. Again, and let me warn you one more thing. In Epidiolex, one of the warnings is, before you start Epidiolex or CBD, that you have a liver function test performed before starting. It's called a baseline liver function test. We want to make sure, because we know this drug damages the liver, and CBD is a drug. That's why they're taking it, because it's a drug. And so it damages the liver. Are they warning you about giving the liver function test? Is your bud tender telling you to get a liver function test before you start taking CBD?
Yeah.
I do as a pharmacist. Need to warn them if they're going to get Epidiolex to make sure that they had a liver function test done first. So they're selling this like it's candy. It's being sold everywhere. It's all over the internet. In fact, I saw Kim Kardashian's going to be having a CBD baby shower.
What does that mean?
Absolute insanity. They're going to be bringing in all types of CBD products. This contains THC, people. And oh, let me say one more thing, too. CBD is CBD. Cannabidiol is cannabidiol. They will try and confuse you and call it, oh, hemp-derived CBD. What does that mean? Hemp even has THC in it. They're trying to confuse the issue and call it hemp-derived CBD. That means it's CBD. That means it also has THC in it. And they've caught them multiple times. JAMA reported this years ago. The Journal of American Medical Association has reported that what it says on the label is not what it actually is. Nobody's regulating them. So, again, when they tell you, oh, it's 50% CBD, 50% THC, and when they've tested it, not true.
Wow.
Okay? Buyer beware, not controlled by the Food and Drug Administration. This is controlled by the state of California and Lori Ajax and her group. And they've caught the labs in Sacramento falsifying their data when the labs are supposedly testing for pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, bacteria, fungi that's grown in these products, that they falsify the reports. They were caught just in December. They were caught last September. The Steep Hill Labs in the Bay Area, which was supposedly the national expert, they were caught not testing for all the pesticides that they were supposed to be testing for. So you're dealing with a fraudulent group, people that were skirting the laws before, and you're expecting them to really be providing scientific service for you?
Wow.
You need to be questioning what you're putting in your body.
So the CBD that they're selling over the counter, is that as a result of the legalization of marijuana in California? Is that now they can sell CBD over the counter?
No, they fraudulently are making the leap from hemp being allowed by our U.S. Congress, pushed through by our Republican-led Senate, pushed through the
farm bill.
Mitch McConnell pushed this through, and it passed the House and was signed by our president into law to now take hemp out of a CS1 status. And they are using this facade that it's hemp to create the CBD, which is actually, it's all a facade for THC. Their goal is to sell THC, the psychoactive component. That's the goal. And they are using now all these other facades of hemp and CBD to hide the THC content. They claim that hemp will have less than 0.3% THC. Well, when you have industrial hemp production, you have industrial amounts of THC then being created. They've also said it's going to be less than 0.3. Who's testing that? So all this is a facade to then generate THC production, and that's what they're doing. In fact, there was several thousand pounds of it being moved from Oregon into Idaho recently, and the guy said, I thought I was trucking hemp, and they tested it, and it was marijuana.
Who could have seen that coming?
Yeah.
We've got to take another quick break. When we come back, let's revisit just a couple of topics that we haven't discussed in this particular show, but we do have a lot of airtime with you, Dr. Drum, on this, the use of pot for PTSD and also for pain, and kind of where, you know, some more facts about that. We can point people to some resources because that is a big, big misnomer. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Kick back and let it do what it do. Now you can two-toke her, you can one-hit him. Puff it in a pipe and you can twist it in a stem. You can bake it in some brownies, smoke it through a ball. Roll up a great big fat one like old Cheech and Chong. Burn it through a hole in a can of Budweiser. If you can't take the heat, son, vaporizer. That old wacky tobacco, when you feel it creeping up on you. That old wacky tobacco, kick back and let it do what it do. Now do what you do.
And the dream that you dream of, dream really do come true.
Amount of time here. I don't know which one of you wants to address this, but the use of marijuana for PTSD and pain and all that, and then I guess we throwing in another thing because a lot of times the CBD is promoted as something that would be good for like arthritis and that kind of stuff, and supposedly has no addicting properties. And well, we just found out it has THC in it, but they tell people it doesn't. So. What do you have to say on that?
Well, I think the problem with it is we don't really know what's in a lot of the CBD oils that are put out there. There could be a little bit of an active ingredient, but not enough. I mean, there's so many different brands out there that we really don't know what we're getting if you are trying that CBD oil.
But enough to make
Am I right, Phil?
Fail a drug test at work. Oops.
Sure.
Yeah, and that's a possibility.
Right, and again, there's a study, and I could send it to you, Aaron, a report from Ken Finn, and I'd also encourage you to have him come on your call. He's a pain specialist, MD, out of Colorado that speaks about this a lot. He was also down at that North American Cannabis Summit. He talks about these CB2 receptors potentially having an effect with inflammation, neuropathic pain, and maybe some cancer pain. Again, the studies that have been done with a combination product, Sativex, that's been done over in Europe, in which it was used for cancer pain. It's under investigation in the United States, and so I would encourage, if people do want to use it, to go through the National Institute of Health and get engaged in those studies for this, because that would be the safer product to use, not the stuff that's being sold in the pot shops that could be anything, as well as the anti-inflammatory effects. Again, that has not been proven. The only reason CBD was approved by the Food and Drug Administration was for very, very, very rare seizure syndromes that occur in like 1 in 40,000 kids. So it's not Dravet's and Lennox-Gastaut's are not common seizure syndromes, and those tend to be very drug-resistant seizure syndromes for that CBD was approved for. It was not approved for anything else, just for seizure syndromes, CBD. And it also contains THC. So, again, just a warning that you want to use CBD, you're running the risk of popping a positive for THC because these CBD products contain THC, which is the psychoactive component. With regards to PTSD, again, I would not promote its use. We know that drug use and PTSD do not go together well. These people are already potentially suicidal, and they found with cannabis use disorder syndromes increases the risk of actual suicides and attempted suicides when they looked at cannabis use disorder being found in these guys with PTSD. So the studies are prevalent out there saying they would not recommend using this. In fact, I know there's a gentleman up in Oregon that may be listening that was in the military that has now gotten himself clean as a result of he started down this road. He followed the fantasy that marijuana would be good for his PTSD, and it wreaked nothing but havoc in him. So people that think that this is a cure-all, they're badly, badly mistaken. This is an increased risk for suicide activity to actually occur by combining cannabis with somebody with PTSD, the worst thing you could be doing.
Good to know, because that is definitely not being promoted accurately to people.
And even the pain issues, again, Ken Finn will tell you that, again, it's for cancer pain, maybe. The only actual multiple sclerosis spasticity in a study that I saw recently, it's only effective in the upper extremities. It's not working for the lower extremities when they've tried it. What's the most common pain that most people have? Back pain. And this has no impact. In fact, when they did do studies to see would it lessen the amount of opiate use, they actually saw the opposite. When they were combining cannabis with these patients, they found that they needed more opiates when they combine it, cannabis to try and alleviate their pain. So this fantasy that it will reduce opiate use is just that. Again, it's another selling point that they tried. They were looking at reductions. One of the studies you'll hear them quote is, oh, reduction in prescriptions for opiates happened when we legalized marijuana. Well, that reduction is going on as a result of the Food and Drug Administration coming down, as well as other state regulatory societies coming down on prescriptions of opiates. And they're saying now, and I'm sure many of you are now finding out, they're saying 7-day supply of opiates, that's it. You're not getting a 30-day supply. You're not getting 90 tablets now when you're seeing somebody. You're getting 7 or 10 or 14 to last you for 7 days, and that's it. So we are seeing a reduction in opiate prescribing. It has nothing to do with legalization of cannabis. In fact, when you combine cannabis and opiates, you increase your opiate use. That's what the scientific studies are showing.
We had a listener write in on the chat that Mercy, a local hospital here, reported in their drug screening, 39% tested positive for pot, which is vastly higher than other drugs that were in the screen. And also a couple of the high schools here on their self-reporting, one high school reported 80% use, and the other one reported 90% use. So there you go. You legalize it, and guess who's going to start using it?
Right.
And, yeah, you know, so again, I think they see that we're getting close to nearing the end. I think one of the key points that Corrine and I can both make and scream from the mountaintops, It's a lie. It's a lie when they tell you nobody dies from marijuana. That is a lie. Because if you'd like to go tell my sister that, I'll bring you over to the San Joaquin Cemetery where she's buried. And you can go tell that to her yourself.
And there's a website called Mom Strong. And if you go on there, there's many stories about parents that have lost their children to marijuana in different ways, from suicide and from other horrible ways in which marijuana took their lives. So I invite everybody to go on that website, because marijuana has made a lot of very unsubstantial claims, as well as CBD, to how it can cure just about everything.
Right.
So, you know, we have to be responsible for our own selves and our own health. I think a lot of people think somebody is out there looking out for us, and that's just simply not true nowadays.
Well, and I think they feel that since it's natural, you know, because that's been the big hype, since it's a natural product, it's not that bad if that's what their kids are into. It's better than alcohol. I'm told that all the time. You know, this
just
is so...
remember, what's being sold is not natural.
Yep.
The natural product is 0.5 to 3%. And please bring me 0.5 to 3% THC that you purchase from a recreational store. I'd love to see natural marijuana.
Uh-huh.
You'll never find it. The average in the state of Colorado is 21% THC.
Wow.
That's in the weed. And then when we're talking about the butane hash oil, the dabs and oil, that's 70 to up to 99% THC.
What?
So please, bring me that natural 0.5 to 3%.
They no wonder people are freaking out.
They will laugh you out of the building. Of course, because it's an addictive substance. Psychoactive.
So I had a parent call me the other day, and he was all upset. He really didn't understand what was going on. His daughter, I think she was 14 or 15, was rushed to the hospital with tachycardia, and the father found out that she had vaped some marijuana, and it totally sent her into tachycardia, and she almost didn't make it when she got to the hospital. So
again, tachycardia is rapid heart rate, causes hypertension. They just lost the public defender, Adachi, in San Francisco, and curiously, it was missing in the title of their report from what he died from. It said alcohol and cocaine. Well, it also admitted in his toxicology, and they found it in the room, his marijuana and his benzodiazepine that he was under the influence of. And they said, oh, he had a cardiac event. Well, I was warning people before, when I heard about marijuana being now sold like candy, that you're going to see 50s and 60s and 70-year-olds dying of heart attacks because of the tachycardia, the increased heart rate, the hypertension that the THC will cause, undoubtedly will cause in these people.
Please, please do your homework, folks. All right, guys, we're out of time. Thank you so much for coming on with us, and we're sorry to cut you off unceremoniously. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
If I die young, bury me in satin, lay me down on a bed of roses, sink me in the river at dawn, send me away with the words of a love song. Oh-oh, oh-oh. Lord, make me a rainbow, I'll shine down on my mother, she'll know I'm safe with you when she stands under my colors, oh, and life ain't always what you think it ought to be, you know, ain't even gray, but she buries her baby, the sharp knife of a short life.